And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindebaum, and I'm joined, as always, by your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
That's right. It's me, Ben Taylor, a.k.a. Rib Cracker. You right there, bud?
Yeah. I'm good. They just keep getting better and better every time.
I've got a thing going.
Yeah, so
eventually I'm going to run out of like two-word combo names and have to go down to one.
So we've had an interesting 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's a big reason why we didn't post out like the news and notes article on Saturday last week, because it's like when we were looking at it, we're like, we need to talk about
it. Everything was so volatile at that point.
Yeah. And we needed to talk about it. We couldn't write about it.
Well, there was some stuff we could have written about, but it was also a little of a lot of the big news stories were still developing. Like stuff was still coming out, or people were still being let go, or Vince McMahon was still getting sued by the XFL, or Leo Rush was being an idiot on Twitter, or, well, that's been going on for years.
Yeah. It's been a very interesting 2 weeks. It's been a very rough 2 weeks for Vince McMahon specifically, because
that is why we have titled this episode Vince McMahon's Very Bad, No Good 2 Weeks. Or yes. No Good, Very Bad 2 Weeks.
Yes.
Play on the No Good, Very Bad day. So
yeah. So we're gonna get right into it in news and notes.
News notes. That's my makeshift jingle for news and notes. Don't know why.
We start off with plans for an NXT Japan division being dropped. Sounds like for now, as it is being completely dropped, with it being dead in the water due to what's been going on around the world. This news also reflects a release that we'll talk about in the next segment, because that individual is actually supposed to become apparently the new head coach of NXT Japan. Next up, we have the Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, but in their new name of Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, getting heat in the indie scene over their new name, The Revolt, because there's been a tag team going by that name for the last 5 years.
Yeah, Caleb Conley and Zane Riley are the people that have been using the name The Revolt.
Yep. And it's noted that those in the North Carolina independent scene are upset about the name, given how both Conley and Riley have invested in using the merchandising for The Revolt for some time. It's also noted that since Wheeler and Harwood are from the Carolinas, this is seen as personal because of one of their own did this to working indie talents. What are your thoughts on that? And that's coming from the Carolina indie scene.
I don't know. Like, I'm not from there. I don't know how well known The Revolt are. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of a way to put it, right? Like, and please don't take this as me saying this is gospel or preaching that this is fact or any of that, right? But they may have been using the tag team name for 5 years, but if they've had 3 matches in 5 years, you can't really expect people to know every tag team name, right? Again, I'm not from there. I don't watch Carolina Indies. I don't do any of that. So for all I know, they could be the Legion of Doom of the Carolina Indies and be in everything.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I don't want to comment too much.
Yeah. And one thing that was put out
stuff.
Yeah. So. And one thing that was also put out there was that because, you know, the Revival have been in the WWE bubble for so long, you know, maybe they not have paid attention that much to it.
Yeah.
So there, it could have just been an oversight on their part, you know,
because I don't blame them for wanting to get their new identity set up as quickly as possible. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Cause you want to promote the living daylights out of it to keep yourself relevant.
We aren't saying that the X Revival are blameless here. We're definitely not saying that.
Yeah.
We're just saying there's a lot of factors that can go into this, and we don't know all of the facts. So.
Yeah. So obviously it's more.
Does it suck that they took someone's name? Yes. Did they do it intentionally is the question.
Yeah. And we don't know that.
Yes.
Moving into a little bit of AEW news. One of the most interesting things that we found out in the past couple of days is that on Monday, April 13th, Cody Runnels filed for the trademark to the Cody Rhodes name.
Yep. So apparently, back in October, WWE got notified that their trademark on the name Cody Rhodes was running out. And when that happens, you have a 6 or so month grace period to file a re-up, as it were. And for whatever reason, after Vince being so freaking adamant that Cody couldn't use the name, they didn't re-up the trademark. So the moment that he was able to, Cody, as he has done several times, went on a bit of a trademarking spree and applied to be able to call himself Cody Rhodes again.
Now, the interesting thing is that will he actually call himself Cody Rhodes? Because he has been adamant about, you know, when he was in New Japan and he was the American Nightmare Cody, that he actually built just a Cody brand without the Rhodes.
Really? Is that why they always announced him as Cody and Brandy Rhodes? Because they could announce Brandy Rhodes.
Yep. But they couldn't announce Cody as Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
So it'll be, but yet again, those are his words, though, that he is adamant that I'm fine being just Cody. But again, doing the trademark, it's kind of the opposite of what he says a little bit.
Not really. Imagine you really liked something, right?
Yeah.
Let's say hockey, right?
Yep.
You love hockey.
Yep.
Right? Then something happens and hockey goes away for a while. Let's say a global pandemic.
Yep.
Right? And you yourself have said to me several times that right now you are just fine having no hockey.
Yeah. I miss playing. I don't miss watching. Let me finish my point.
You are just fine with the overall situation of no hockey. Right?
Yeah.
So are you telling me that when all of the pandemic bollocks is over, be it next year or whatever, or June 1st, apparently, if they have their way.
Don't get me started on that one.
Let's ignore the June 1st thing. Let's just say when everything is medically okay.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, open stuff up again. You won't be happy to have hockey back.
Oh, I'll be happy to have hockey
back. So, Let's use that example.
All right.
Cody was Cody Rhodes. Something happened to take away something that he loved. Rhodes. Right? So he moved into the section where we are now, where there is no hockey. Therefore, there is no Rhodes. And he was like, yeah, I'm okay with this. I can live with this. There are ways around it. I can start a new brand, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Then we move on to where we are now for Cody, which is the reintroduction of hockey. Not to say he doesn't... Do you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. And I mean, but it'll be interesting to see what he does once it, you know, all the paperwork and approvals and stuff like that happens.
There's no way he's not going to use the name Rhodes.
Yeah.
There is no way.
Yeah. But speaking of Cody, I know you have some comments you want to say about this next thing, and you've already done the double face palm.
Yeah.
AEW's ratings have come out for the week of April 24th, 2020.
Yep.
We'll go over the ratings, but also, or the rankings, but apparently a AEW fan shot out about this, to which Taz responded, because obviously Taz is not part of AEW.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the fan tweet and then Taz's subsequent response, then we'll go right into the rankings.
Okay.
Laugh my fucking ass off. If Triple H, let's say, was number one on a ranking system in WWE, people would lose their mind. But the executive in AEW is in every main storyline and involved in the new championship tourney, and it's awesome. Ha ha, so funny how that works. Taz's response. H has been number one in their invisible ranking system for around 15 years. Also, CR puts over Cody Rhodes, puts over talent, and doesn't bury and crush people behind their backs. I can go on forever with this. Sir, you think you know what the deal is, but you have no idea what you are talking about regarding this.
Couldn't care less about Taz's statements, to be honest.
Yeah.
Couldn't care less about what that fan said either.
Well, this is the first time.
Because here's the thing, right? At the end of the day, I made my feelings clear about this 2 weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Is AEW feels like four separate companies. And when it comes to the men's singles division, it's being booked very much like a territory was back in the day, where you would have one or two pillar stars, which were usually part of creative, and every single storyline in some way, shape, or form ran through them.
Yep.
Because you could trust they would always be around. Right?
Yep.
And we're starting to see that, and that's become very clear recently, right? Like,
yep.
For good or bad. The problem is with the rankings, they don't make sense. Remember back when all this started, all this pandemic started, and Tony Khan issued this statement and said, AEW workers, if you don't feel safe, if you don't want to come to work, it won't affect your push. It won't affect your standings in the company. It won't affect where you are. It won't get you fired. To where I said, but if they're not wrestling, how's that going to affect the overall standings? Cody Rhodes has now had infinitely more matches than, say, John Moxley or Chris Jericho or et cetera, et cetera, yep, et cetera.
Yep.
The Young Bucks haven't wrestled a tag match on television since the pandemic started, but somehow you're still number two in the rankings.
Yep.
Yuka Sakazaki is number three in the women's rankings with a record of 1 win and 4 losses. While Britt Baker is number four, that's under her, with a record of 11 wins and 7 losses. Chris Statlander is number two in the women's rankings with an overall record of 6-6 and a 2020 singles record of 2-3. These rankings don't make sense.
Yeah.
Don't make sense. Don't make sense. Lance Archer has made his way to number four in the men's standings, right?
Yep. So
somehow, is it percentage? Because if it's percentage, he's got a 100% win record, which would put him first, right? Is it current 2020 singles record? Okay. His singles record is 3-0. So why is he above Jake Hager, who's 4-1?
Yeah.
Proved it's not percentage. So is it wins? He's got less wins than Jake, so why is he above him? Is it overall record? Well, his overall record is 3-1. But Jake Hager's is his overall record is 3-0, but Jake Hager's is 5-1. Last week, Jake Hager was number one contender. Because he lost one match, he went down to fifth, even though Cody Rhodes, who is now first, has a 7-1 record.
And he also can't wrestle for the title.
So why is he in there?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm going to do a quick run through of all of the standings.
You do that, I'm going to blow my nose.
Yeah, and I'm only going to give the 2020 singles records or records for all the talent. So in the men's, number one is Cody with a 2020 singles record of 7-1, followed by Kenny Omega with a singles record of 4-0. Darby Allin at number three with a 5-2 record, Lance Archer at number four with a 3-0 record, and Jake Hager with a 4-1 record.
I'd like to point out that of those five men, the number two contender for the title, who is technically the number one contender for the title, because the number one contender for the title can't wrestle for the title, is one of your tag team champions.
Yep. And speaking of champions, John Moxley.
And the reason he's second is because his overall record is 20-7, which includes his tag team matches.
Yep. And then speaking of the champions, John Moxley is the AEW World Champion with a 9-1 2020 singles record. Stop doing that. There we go. And then for the women's division, number one is Hikaru Shida with a 7-1 record, followed by Chris Statlander with a 2-3 record, Yuka Sakazaki with a 1-1 record, Britt Baker with a 3-3 record, Riho, say it right. Ah, I did it right. Yay. Ben smiling with great glee with a 3-3 record, with the champion Nyla Rose having a 4-1 record.
Now we know that Nyla is in she's not been on TV because she's doing the social distancing thing. Good job, Nyla. You're awesome. Yep. I love your Twitter. Seeing your updates about how you've been playing through video games is great. I wish we just knew how they formulated rankings.
Like, I remember one time, the reason that Cody Rhodes got the title shot at Full Gear was because he beat Sean Spears. Because the level of competitor that Sean Spears was enough to warrant Cody to become number one contender.
Seen how they treated Sean Spears?
But the problem with that was if Sean Spears had been wrestling on AEW and was like 5-0, and Cody was like 5-0 as well going into that Full Gear match that like one match that they had, then like, okay, it makes sense because they're the two top guys with the best records in the singles division. Yeah. But that was Sean Spears' first freaking match. It didn't make sense. How did Sean's... Oh, well, I guess because he came from WWE, that automatically made him like top-tier competition for Cody.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense. But anyways, tag team division. Number one, you have the Dark Order of Evil Uno and Stu Grayson with a 5-0 2020 record. Mm-hmm. Followed by the Young Bucks with a 2-2 record. Followed by the Best Friends with a 4-3 record. Followed by SCU with a 2-3 record, followed by the Lucha Bros with a 1-2 record. Obviously, they haven't been able to be on television because they're both stuck in Mexico now.
At no point, I want everyone to understand, at no point here are Mike and I saying anyone who has put themselves into isolation or is doing social distancing or is stuck because of travel restrictions is wrong. They're doing the right thing. Hell, if it was me, we wouldn't even be seeing these idiots at ringside.
Yep. So that's why we only seen three matches this year from the Lucha Bros because of the travel restrictions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the tag team champions, as you mentioned, Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page, which has a tag team record this year of 6-0.
Right. So, and here's the other thing, right? Neither SCU nor... the Young Bucks have had a match on AEW TV in a very long time. However, they're willing to go to the Young Bucks house and wrestle in a ring for being the Elite.
Yeah.
What? Well, they're willing to have matches with jobbers and Brandon Cutler and Peter Avalon and all of that. So, what the hell?
It's almost kind of like... I don't want to say that this is what they're doing, but it kind of comes off as this way. But it's kind of like, screw AEW. We're just going to do our own thing right now during this pandemic.
And again, the other reason these rankings don't make sense, right, is they're set up one of two ways, right? They're either a top 10 ranking or they're a league, right?
Yeah.
It's clearly not a league because the way leagues work, you get 3 points for a win, 1 for a draw, 0 for a loss, right? You don't get draws in wrestling, so it'd be 1 for a win, 0 for a loss, right?
Yeah.
But if that was the case, let's use the men's rankings, for example. Cody would have 7 points this season. Kenny Omega would have 4 points. Darby Allin would have 5 points. Right. And the other reason it's not a league, that would put Darby in second, right? Rather than Kenny. The other reason it's not a league is not everyone is wrestling the same amount of matches. That's the way leagues work. So it's a top 10. So the question then becomes, why are we not seeing next week on Dynamite Jake Hager challenging Lance Archer for the right to move up to fourth place? You should always be wrestling people higher than you on the ladder, right, to try and move up.
Yeah, and I think we've only seen that one time in AEW, and I think it was the match between Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander.
But this is what I'm saying is either book it like it's a ladder, or book it like it's a league. That way, your rankings make sense.
Yep.
The rankings just don't make sense. That's the thing that annoys me.
Yeah, it's. I think it's always bothered us from the very beginning, especially when it made Cody the first.
I don't have
number one contender
again. For all the what is going on with my hair, for all the people that talk about how Cody's always involved in high profile feuds and how Kenny Omega's always involved in high profile feuds, I've got no problem with that, right? Because again, the men's singles division is being booked a lot like an old territory, where the corner posts of a territory would often be members of creative or people who owned the territory, because they aren't going anywhere. That doesn't bother me, especially when it's talents like Cody and Kenny who can put on good matches.
Yeah.
Which, arguably, some people who have done this in the past cannot. I'm not going to name names, but there you go.
Yeah. So, final bit of news and notes.
And yes, I know we spent a long time on that, but if I don't rant about that at least once every couple of months, I'll explode.
Yeah. And then we have some injury news and notes real quick. So first, Jinder Mahal has said that he has been 100% cleared and is ready.
Congrats, Jinder.
Yep, and is ready to return. He's just waiting on creative for how they're going to bring him back. Mm-hmm. And then during an appearance on Sunday Night Main Event podcast, Mickey James provided an update on her status following her torn ACL. And she had to say the following, and I quote, "I'm due to return. I felt I was so close to getting ready to be cleared. And then obviously my timing per usual is impeccable, but I was like, you know what? Maybe it's a blessing in regards to the pandemic."
Stay home with the kids.
Yeah. I feel like everything is always, you never know. There's a reason for everything. So I've just been kind of still steadily rehabbing, because even now I'm just 9 months or whatever it is post-surgery. If I have more time in my own right to continue to heal and recover and build to come back, I'd rather come back at 110% than 90.
Big thumbs up on that one.
So it sounds like Mickey is...
Anything that gets me more of Mickey James is a good thing.
Yeah. And so that means that Mickey is should be back soon, most likely probably when the pandemic is all said and done.
Yep.
So it's good to see that Mickey James is on the road
and
to
return. As I will point out to everybody, we are on the verge of, once again, me having to tell everyone else, don't hinder Jinder.
Yep. All right. So Ben.
Yes, I'm well aware his title reign didn't go over too well. But what I will say is, you can't blame the guy. If Vince McMahon turns around to you and says, "We're going to put the WWE title on you," you don't say no.
Well, I think his stuff with Orton was good. I think
the problem with Jinder's title reign is it was all the same.
Yeah.
Right? It was all Orton gets Jinder gets beaten up for most of the match. The Singhs interfere. Jinder hits the Colossus, and that's the win. Right? The other thing that was wrong with Jinder's title reign
was the Shinsuke story.
No. I don't care about the Shinsuke storyline. It was the very premise of the title run. Because the title run was supposed to be ingratiating to the Indian fans and all of that, right? You don't do that by making the person that's supposed to be appealing to the fans a heel. You don't do it like that.
Well, didn't they have it work the way in kind of like how Brett was, where he was a heel in America, but a face?
They wanted it to work that way.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were trying to make it work like the way Bret Hart
did. The problem was, Jinder was just the heel.
Yeah.
The reason Bret Hart, the Bret Hart Canada USI storyline worked is because it evolved naturally. It wasn't forced.
Yeah.
Right?
It also didn't help that when they did go to India and Jinder was there, he faces Triple H and loses to Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't really help while he was champion. So, but yeah, so moving on, we're moving on to our next segment. Technically, this should be put in news and notes, but we decided to do a separate segment just for this because of just how massive this thing is.
Yeah.
And that is, you know,
the Red Wedding. I mean, Black Friday.
Bloody Wednesday.
Bloody Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else but us call it Bloody Wednesday, but it is not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, WWE did massive releases and furloughs, not just to the roster, but to a lot of office people as well, as a result of the pandemic. Now, this is something we had started writing about, or at least I did.
Yeah.
But then it was just like, we probably should talk about it because, A, as you had mentioned at the beginning, there was a lot of stuff that was still evolving and information still coming out and stuff like that. So there was a lot still being digested on this. And now that we've had about a week and a half to digest a lot of this, So... what we're probably going to do is we're going to list all of the people or most of them, but certain ones Ben and I want to talk about more specifically because we have thoughts about certain ones that have been let go. So right off the top of the list, and I did not create the list. I just copied and pasted for the record. On the top of the list is Drake Maverick.
Yeah. This is one I want to talk about. I've been a big fan of his since the English indie scene, back when he was Rockstar Spud. I was always very sad that when he was brought in via Impact and then into WWE, that they put him in the general manager role. But then, like, he had a couple of matches with Mike Ness, and then he got involved in the 24/7 stuff. And that was by far the best 24/7 stuff because that should have been his title and not R-Truth's. And I know you and I talked a little bit about this before the show.
Yeah. Because
you were going to make your good things happening in wrestling the Drake Maverick storyline.
Yeah.
And I pointed out... are they doing good things with Drake Maverick storyline? Or are they just abusing the outpouring of love that he got on social media?
Yeah.
They're still allowing him to compete in the Cruiserweight title tournament. Fine. That's cool of them. But I don't think we're going to know if it's really a redemptive storyline until his next match. Because if he loses his next match, he's just out, right? Unless they do a thing where, like, they get all the way to the final and then it's, like, one member of the final gets kidnapped by whatever they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we have to do, like, a scramble match to find the other finalist. And he wins the scramble match and then gets put in the final and then wins the title, right?
Yeah.
Like... we're not going to know I think it's a little bit despicable if they're just turning his release into a storyline. I think that's kind of bad form. They seem to be doing the same thing with Sarah Logan, because she was mentioned a whole lot on Raw, like, right after she was released.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And this is also something, I was reading this morning, that apparently everyone who has been released, like, wrestler-wise...
They have been told that there is an option to bring them back when everything's back up and running.
Not only that, but apparently... because they do, in fact, have 90-day non-compete clauses, and they are still being paid, they could still, in theory, still be used during the next 3 months up until July 15th when the non-compete clauses expire.
I'm not sure about how the legalities of that work.
So apparently,
all I know is that when Spud, and I will forever call him Spud, I'm sorry. He's always been Spud to me. He will always be Spud to me. I love him. He's great. But when Spud put out that video, the wrestling world reacted. Right? And that goes to show you how much people care for Spud. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, this is a guy who came into WWE and pretty much did anything and everything that was asked of him.
Yeah, he was on the bump, and the quote was, "I've never been given anything. Even here in WWE, I've been given crumbs, and I take those crumbs and I make them into steaks."
Yeah.
So imagine what would happen if someone gave me a steak.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, look at what he did with the 24/7, with his whole wedding thing. Him literally peeing himself in the middle of the ring. Like, he literally took everything that was handed to him and made it look good and made it entertaining for us, the fans.
Yeah.
And we could talk about Drake for hours, but...
There is literally only one person on this list other than Drake that I genuinely, actually, I'm not going to say that. I'll say that when we get to it. Let's carry on down the list.
Next up, we have Curt Hawkins.
I've got stuff to say here.
And we could throw Zack Ryder into that conversation too.
Absolutely, we can. I genuinely believe that Zack and Curt. I'm going to call them the Major Brothers because it's what I'm used to calling them. I think they're so underutilized. They should have... They are very, very talented wrestlers, and they should be given a run with the tag team titles. The problem that they ran into is the same thing that Breezango ran into on the main roster, is that they just won't commit to giving them the title and letting them go. Right? They had that one title win at Mania like 2 years ago. 2 years ago?
Actually, I think it was last year. It was last year because
it was two Manias ago.
Now it is. It was WrestleMania 35 because it was the New York one.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, they lost the titles almost like immediately afterwards. It's just like, what was the point? Just let them have matches and win and do stuff, right?
Yeah.
Just, you're not going to find out if people can carry the burden if you don't let them carry the burden, right? And I genuinely believe if they let Zach and Kurt go, like, run with the ball, they could get some really interesting stuff going. Like, bring back the Edgeheads, for crying out loud.
Like, I remember Edge was still retired at that time, and he made that like appearance on SmackDown, and you saw that video of like and behind the three
of them together.
Yeah, and it was like oh, that would have been so great. That would have been so awesome. Next up, you have not Hawkins. We just said him, Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah,
just off of being on a main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
and just recently signed lucrative contracts.
I think that's the reason, that's specifically the reason these two were let go, is they just signed very, very, very spendy contracts.
Yeah. And not only that, but there's also a rumor that also, because recently they just restarted their podcast with Rocky Romero. So there was some speculation that that may have had a cause in that as well, but that's never been confirmed. But yeah, it's interesting because, like, we were just talking like 2 weeks ago about storylines with Gallows and Anderson in regards to AJ Styles, of like how you could bring back AJ, you know, how you could bring AJ back to TV and using the OC as like a catalyst for it, along with like, say, The Undertaker going into Survivor Series. So like, this just took what we talked about 2 weeks ago out the window, like literally. But you never know, because at the same time, like, as you mentioned, there's a possibility that they could be brought back after the 90 days or after the pandemic itself. Yeah. However, there has been talk that there is potential of both of them returning to New Japan.
Well, Carl Anderson has already posted on his social media that he's going back to the name Machine Gun Carl Anderson.
Yep.
Which hints that he's probably headed back to Japan. Yeah.
And then there have been hints, because of what Cody Rhodes has been posting, that about Zack Ryder maybe going to AEW, because they're really good friends. So
I would love to see I would love to see Kurt and Zack go together.
Yeah.
Kurt and Zack just posted an interview with Chris Jericho on their wrestling figure network. So they definitely have contacts at
AEW. Yeah.
And I would love to see them go in and just be able to compete and have good matches. That's the main, like, I was saying, is when we did Awesomania 2K20, right? I used like three of my first five draft picks on Zack Ryder, Heath Slater and
Kurt Hawkins,
and they're all gone from the company now. Like,
which is a great segue, because the next name on the list is Heath Slater.
This is the only one I'm happy about.
Yeah, and
you know why?
Because this could be like the rule of 3MB.
Because Jinder Mahal left the company, came back, won the title. Drew McIntyre left the company, came back, won the title. Heath Slater. He's gonna be the three-peat, man. I believe.
That would be I agree with you in full force, because
I'm joking about that.
But here's the thing though. Slater has actually kind of came out and said this is just gonna make me more hungry to want to earn my way back into the company. So just like the way it did for McIntyre,
I'm joking a little bit about the 3MB thing, right? Yeah. But I am sad that all of these people lost their jobs in the middle of the pandemic. Yeah. Can I blame Vince? Given everything that's gone on in the very bad, no good 2 weeks? Maybe not.
And we'll get to that, because
I'm not going to assign blame here. I'm just going to say it freaking sucks that a bunch of really cool folk and Leo Rush lost their jobs. You right there, Mike?
Oh, I got comments, but we'll get to that when we get to him on the list.
Yeah.
But you bring up the thing about Vince and should blame be put on. We'll get to that in a moment, because there are certain people who do talk about it.
Yeah.
It's particularly some of the producers that we'll get to.
Specifically Heath Slater.
Yeah.
This is him, Zach,
Kurt,
and Drake.
And
probably Rusev are the own of the five I'm very sad to see go. Like, I'm sad they all went, But like those five specifically are among some of my favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like just in general.
Now, next up you have Eric Young. I'm not overly surprised with this one. I'm very disappointed that he really didn't get utilized the way he was in NXT on the main roster.
They called up Sanity and did nothing with him.
Yeah. Like the only one who's doing anything of note on the main roster is Nikki, but at least
and they completely changed her character.
And then you have Alexander Wolfe, who's now part of Imperium, so they completely changed his character. And all right, so then you have like Alexander Wolfe, he's doing Imperium.
Yeah.
So that's a complete character change for him as well. And then Killian Dane is
of those, I think the only, like, I'm cool with the Alexander Wolfe change because I always dug Ringkampf in WXW, and well, except for Walter, because Walter's shite. And now, after NXT a couple of weeks ago, the world has been enlightened to Timothy Thatcher. Oh, Timothy Thatcher. Oh. Yep. My favorite incarnation of Ringkampf was Walter Axe with Dieter, what is now Axe. I'm not sure what he's called now, but he was Axe with Dieter Jr. It was Timothy Thatcher. Them against British Strong Style was a very interesting match.
Yeah, but then you had and Killian Dane. You have him doing his thing as like his own little thing going on right now, and then Eric Young just kind of got lost in everything. Like he was the only one. I mean, he was getting used on main event, but outside that, he wasn't really doing much of anything else. So, and then he changed his look completely to where you didn't even recognize him. So it was like, It was interesting, but sad that, you know, kind of waste of potential on that one with Eric Young and on the main roster out after his NXT run. You have EC3, somebody who barely ever appeared on the main roster. Has also been hinting towards AEW at this point.
Yeah, did you see the video he posted?
Yes, that's what I was referring to. Had
Judas in the background?
Yep. Next up, oh,
I'm glad EC3 is gone because it means he's going to be able to go somewhere else and thrive.
Yep.
And he deserves to.
Yep. Next up,
you know, the other thing that makes me, sorry, it just sprung to mind.
No, go right? For it. Cause yeah.
And it was brought up by the EC3. Cause I was thinking about the recent EC3 promos. And then my brain went, yeah, he filmed that the same time that he filmed the stuff for Battle of the Brands. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, there's a lot of people in Battle of the Brands that aren't in the company anymore. And they've censored people that weren't in the company before.
So, next up on this list, Lio Rush. This one.
Na 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 na. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye.
Now, with that, thank you for that lovely song there, Ben. While it is, you know, not the best thing to see people get released during this time, this is one that needed to happen.
Well, I wouldn't say it needed to happen.
Well, let's be brutally honest.
It really didn't need to happen now.
Well, that's true. But let's be brutally honest. It's still one that needed to happen irregardless.
Eventually.
Because all of his interviews leading up to this point, and even the stuff that he's been saying after this point about him as a wrestler, has clearly indicated that he is moving away from wrestling. He is going to focus more on his music career. But it's funny, though, because when they announced this interim Cruiserweight Championship tournament, he was one of the first people to go, yeah, I need to be in this tournament. Wait, hold on. Stop right there. You're the dumbass who told everyone to keep their stupid ass at home. And now you're saying, I want to be part of this tournament. Hypocrite much?
Yeah.
So it's like, Leo needs to get it figured out in here, in his head, what he wants to do and what he wants to be. And
it's fair.
And honestly, and he, I think he openly admitted it after he got released. He openly admitted the fact that he probably went to WWE way too early. So, and it's not been the greatest time in WWE for Leo. You know, yeah, he got a cruiserweight title run. Yeah, he got to manage Bobby Lashley at a WrestleMania. But, it, you know, he, this is somebody who needs to get his head on straight and figure out who he wants, what he wants to do and who he wants to be.
Well, there's more to it than that. But well,
yeah, I'm trying to keep it somewhat
I'll,
nice.
What I'll say is... of course he was going to say stuff like that when he gets released, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And we've made our thoughts on Leo Rush perfectly clear before. We have a little bit more of a personal knowledge of Leo than some, just because you've worked with his dad and your history with MCW and I think it is better for the WWE that Leo Rush isn't part of their company. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Whether it needed to happen in the middle of the pandemic, that's a different story.
Yeah. Next up is Sarah Logan.
This was a shock.
Yeah. And apparently a lot of people are pressuring to have her rehired. Yeah. This is like the number one name that has had a lot of pressure to get rehired, which is why she was rewritten into storylines for Monday Night Raw. She's going to get prominently used during the 90 days because she still is getting paid by the company during the 90-day non-compete clause. So this is, even though what I read this morning, they said, oh, despite what they're doing with Drake and Sarah, they're still not going to bring them back. I think it's kind of BS on that one when it comes to Sarah and potentially Drake, but we won't know until it actually happens. But yeah, this was one of the surprising ones. We'll have to see what happens with that. Next up, you have the Colognes.
This didn't surprise me at all.
No.
I was very much shocked they weren't given their releases before. They've been in Puerto Rico working for a company over there for a very long time.
And then according to reports, Conan is apparently interested in bringing both the Colognes and Leo Rush to AAA when they're able to.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Rowan, I mean,
well, he's going to go join the Dark Order now, right? I mean,
I don't know, but like, and I understand your point with like, oh, his push ended once they did the thing with the spider.
Yeah.
It's still a little surprising that you had somebody who was prominently used on television though, and then get
the OC just main event of WrestleMania. Yeah.
Well, I'm putting him right with the OC, you know, because it's just like, what? Mike and Maria Kanellis.
They furloughed someone who they'd announced for... they terminated someone they announced for one of their tournaments.
Yeah. Mike and Maria Kanellis.
Not going to say I'm sad about this one. Not because I wanted them gone, but because they both deserved better.
Yeah. But yet again, but there is a lot of positive that came out of this time of them being there. It helped Mike sober, clean up and get sober.
If you listen to Maria, that was never a problem.
Really?
Yeah.
And then the two kids that they had.
Yeah, so she went in, had medical for two kids, and then left.
Yeah.
No, they both deserve better than what they were getting. Hopefully they'll show up in Ring of Honor and re-tag team with Matt Taven.
No Way Jose. Not really surprised, but
His dancing gimmicks always work well on the main roster.
Well, that's the interesting thing. So Levis Valenzuela, his real name, actually did an interview recently where he actually said that when he was given the idea for the Noé Jose character in NXT, he actually was against it because he felt that it had a very low ceiling to the character. And he was right. And so for him, this is actually a great thing for...
Doesn't help that his finisher was crap.
Well, yeah. But
it's a punch.
Yeah, but it's a great thing for Levis to get out of WWE, rebrand himself as something completely different now, and work his way back into WWE. So this is actually one of those, like a Heath Slater thing. It's good for them to get out so they can work their way back in.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Because if they bring him back, they're going to want to bring him back as Noé Jose.
Yeah. Which would be horrible. But, I mean, I don't agree
with the Heath Slater thing either. But, yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what he does now that he's out of WWE and he can get away from the Noé Jose gimmick.
It'd be interesting if he pulls a Juice Robinson.
Yes. That's a great example right there, Juice Robinson. Rusev. And then this is the last one of the main roster. Then we start going into NXT. Me. Yeah.
Big shocker for me.
Well, we knew so I know Lana's going to play a big factor in this. Lana has already signed a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
Rusev has been negotiating on and off a new deal for him. Because his contract was going to be expiring sometime, I think, this year. So it makes sense because of the fact
the man that came out on Twitter and pledged $25,000 of his own money
to the WWE family.
To the WWE family for people that were having problems during the coronavirus, and they fired him. Fuck that company.
Yeah, so it's... This is one, though, where I could see Rusev going there. Maybe AEW?
A lot of people in the backstage of AEW seem to be very high on Rusev.
Yeah. So... It'll be interesting to see what...
I don't want to be the president. Well, these people should go to AEW because they shouldn't.
No. But, like, it'll be interesting to see what he does moving forward.
I kind of just want him to, like, live off Lana's fat-ass paycheck.
Next up, we have a bunch of NXT. Now, this is one of the things where this was kind of coming out over days.
Yeah.
So first off,
when this was originally announced, when it was originally let out by, I think it was either Ryan Satin or Sean Ross Sapp, what came out was NXT talents are being given 30 days pay and then they can do whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it read like all NXT talents. That's how that read. And everyone went, oh dear. And I was like, all right, Adam Cole to AEW then.
but yeah, so starting off, we have Deonna Purrazzo.
AKA the fiance of the villain Marty Scurll. Guess where she's headed?
Ring of Honor.
Back to Ring of Honor, yeah.
Yep. Then you had Alexander Jaksic.
No idea who that is.
Apparently on the live event circuit for NXT, he was Tahuti Miles' tag team partner.
Who?
Tahuti Miles is an MCW pro wrestling graduate who signed with WWE last year.
Who?
Exactly. And unlike Alexander, Tahuti was actually used on Raw as an...
Who?
MJ Jenkins.
Who?
Okay, this one don't do the who thing too for a specific reason. Dan Matha, literally days after being part of a car accident.
Right. Again, who? And I'm not saying that to be mean.
Yeah.
I'm saying it to mean didn't really have a TV presence.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, again, all of these suck. This one especially, because he'd been in a freaking car accident. But I'm going to come to a point at the end of this entire list that still you'll sucks. See.
Yeah. Cassius Ohno.
Who? I mean...
but also for him, who's already going back to Chris Hero,
yeah,
was also probably related to apparently comments he made about the coronavirus.
Don't say that. We don't know.
Yeah,
that
we don't know facts. That's for a fact, but that's a rumor. Tino Sabatelli.
I can start all kinds of freaking rumors. I think Rusev was fired because he has a big penis. There we go. That's about as substantiated as the thing you just said.
Tino Sabatelli.
Yep.
Cesar Bononi.
Yep.
Who had just started getting a presence on USA.
Yep.
I'm going to do this next name first because the rest of the names were all people who had not appeared on television.
Okay.
Next up would be Tanara Conti.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, not a surprise after some Little of the events.
Walkout.
Yep. Now, the rest of these were all people who had either just made their live event debut or are still training at the Performance Center.
Yeah.
Mars Wang.
I'm sorry, dude. You have the best name.
Nick Camaroto.
Could you imagine having the name Mars Wang? Like the icebreakers at parties. I have a chocolate bar for a penis.
Nick Camaroto.
Yep.
Alyssa Marino.
Yep.
Rocky. Muhammad Fahim. Marcos Gomes,
yeah.
Faisal Curdy, Hussein Aldegal, and Edgar Lopez.
A lot of these are either
recent signees or and stuff like
people that were picked up in the Saudi training camps tryouts. Right, so here's the point I wanted to get to at the end of this. I was very, very plain, right?
Yep.
When I said to you, when Luke Harper was released, and I made a point of saying, and nothing of worth was lost, because at the time, he wasn't doing a damn thing for the company, right?
Yep.
You can say the exact same thing for most of the names on this list. The only people you could probably not say that about are Drake Maverick, because he was in the title tournament. The OC, because they just made an event at WrestleMania.
Sarah Logan.
Sarah Logan was kind of in that weird Riot Squad angle that was going on.
And Deonna Purrazzo was actually being used in the very
Purrazzo was being used as enhancement talent on Raw.
Yep.
Right? Cassius Ohno, because he was coach. Everyone else on that list kind of wasn't doing anything.
Yep.
Right?
I think you can make a slight argument for MJ Jenkins, because she was being used as enhancement as well.
Again.
Yeah, but... but yeah, but no, you're completely right. Like at this point, like,
and that includes all of the people I listed as favorites of mine. I'd like to point that out.
Yeah. Now it also should be noted that, there were significant producers, coaches, announcers, referees, creative.
I just wanted to make the point that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So I had to make the point.
Yeah. In regards to producers, all of them but one was furloughed. And the one that was released was Kurt Angle. The ones that were furloughed was Billy Kidman, Mike Rotunda, Pat Buck, Fit Finley, Sean Devari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, Shane Helms, and Lance Storm. Now, the biggest reason...
Just a quick thing.
Yep.
I want to point out the difference between being let go and being furloughed.
Yep.
Because they're two different things. Basically, a furlough is you're basically being put on semi-permanent vacation, but this is not necessarily with vacation pay. You are still employed by the company.
Yep.
You are just no longer no longer essential, I guess.
Yeah. But one of the other things is that it was put out there that the ones that were furloughed mm-hmm. was given letters that says you're being furloughed at this time
yeah.
with the intentions of bringing you back.
Well, that's what a furlough means.
Yeah, on July 1. However, given whatever the status of this we have the right to push it back even further or outright release you.
Yeah.
So one of the
I guess if they do end up releasing them, we'll come back to address this later.
Yeah. Coaches that were released were Serena Deeb, Kendo Kashin, who was supposed to apparently be the head coach of NXT Japan.
Yep.
So see, now we came full circle on that one. And Chris Guy, a.k.a. Ace Steel.
Yep.
Announcers, Aiden English was released, whereas Jerry Soto was furloughed.
I feel like Vince has been looking for a reason to get rid of Aiden English for a while.
Oh, but he's so good.
Yeah, but...
Remember
the vaudevillains?
Yes.
Weren't the vaudevillains great?
I love the vaudevillains in NXT. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything that Aiden did with Rusev.
Yeah. Well, it means we can see Rusev Day on the Indies.
Referee.
Take Rusev Day to AEW, goddammit.
Referees was Mike Chioda.
Thinking about it, right? Now that I mentioned Rusev Day, they released Zack Ryder and Rusev on the same day. Two people that basically gave creative the middle finger and got themselves over anyway.
Yeah. And not only that, but like you look at Zack Ryder, he pretty much introduced like all of the social media stuff to WWE too.
Yeah.
Mike Chioda was the lone referee.
Mike Chioda.
Who had been with the company since 1989.
Yeah, I get the feeling he was getting ready to retire anyway.
Yeah, from creative, you had Andrea Listenberger, who was the one behind the Otis Mandy Rose storyline.
She was one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I have been very vocal about how they balls that story up, so.
Yeah. Other on-air talent that was also released was Josiah Williams and John Cusco. I don't know how to say his last name, but Josiah Williams was the infamous one where he wrapped Adam Cole to the ring at that one takeover.
Yeah, that not was long. Bad. It was quite well. It wasn't bad, right? The funny thing was, is not long before the releases happened, Josiah actually put a post on Twitter where he's like, during the quarantine, I'm going to drop a rap album of like NXT tracks. And then they were like, you're fired.
But yeah, so, and now here's the thing. And you had actually touched on this a little bit earlier when we started the segment, is that does Vince McMahon deserve all the blame and stuff like that? And here's the thing. Bubba Ray Dudley has come out and defended Vince and says this is a business thing. Every company is doing that, which is true. Pretty much every company is doing this right now. I have friends from the company that I got laid off from back in September.
Yep.
They just furloughed a bunch of people last week as well.
Yeah.
So, and Shane Helms, one of the producers that's been furloughed, has outright said, I do not blame Vince McMahon for this at all. We are in times that is so precarious and so different right now that I don't blame him for what he had to do. And They also openly said, both Bubba Ray and Shane both openly said, do you really think this was an easy decision to make?
I think it was.
So, like, and that's the thing. It's like, Shane holds nothing against Vince. A lot of these people don't hold anything against Vince. They understand the situation of what's going on. Yes. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, WWE came out and said, oh, well, we have a $500 million, you know, cash hold. You know, but it's a weird time right now. That's all I can say. And I understand why talents are saying, well, we don't blame Vince for doing this. We understand why. And essentially kind of defending him at the same time.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to take sides on this. I'm not going to talk about, I'm just going to say it absolutely sucks ass that Vince and that had to do this. And I'm going to say had to, because that's my opinion. Yep. I believe they thought they had to. Whether they had to or not, that's a whole different episode.
Yeah.
It sucks that a bunch of people lost their jobs, but for the most part, it was a whole lot of people that weren't doing a whole lot of stuff for the company.
Yep.
That's just facts. Yeah. Right.
And when you look at it from a business perspective, if we're not going to use you and stuff like that, why keep you?
Now, I will say there's definitely an argument to be made for the OC and for the Major Brothers that they could have been used more. They just weren't.
Yep.
We're not arguing whether they could have been used more or should have been used more or were used less, underused or overutilized or underutilized. Just facts of what was happening. Okay? Just want to make that absolutely clear. There's no any of that. Facts as it stood, 90%, a lot of the people that were released, in-ring talent, were not doing a whole lot.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I want to put this out there because this is a quote from the quarter one call when they're asked about the recent and aggressive actions and cuts, their words. Vince came out and said that right now they are being cautious due to COVID-19, cash is king, and they want to be conservative. And some can say that they're being a little over-conservative in that regards a little bit. So with that, Ben, I have a question for you.
I will say one last thing.
Yep.
Right. Of course, that's what Vince would say on the quarter one's earnings call.
I think any business person would say that.
That's standard operating procedure for the way to get out of guilt for things right now. We're just being cautious because of COVID. And that, hopefully, is the last time we're going to mention the C word.
Yep.
This whole episode, because we've said it a lot for the last like month and a half.
Yeah. So Ben, I actually have a question for you.
Ooh.
Are you ready to climb the corporate ladder of Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
Or
I could just use a scissor lift.
So, interesting thing. I was actually looking at our schedule for recording.
Yeah.
We actually record our next episode the Saturday before Money in the Bank.
Yeah, which we'll do our predictions then.
Yeah, so, but we wanted to still talk about it a little bit because, It's kind of interesting about what they're doing, stuff that has been unveiled both by WWE and by, you know, leaks. Not leaks in general to the matches themselves, like who wins and stuff like that, but what they're planning on doing with matches. Because as we all now know, the Money in the Bank matches themselves are going to be taking place at Titan Towers. And with the recent pictures that were released that showed a wrestling ring on top of Titan Towers surrounded by a bunch of ladders, and with both men's and women's briefcases hanging above the ring. Apparently this, according to reports, both matches are going to take place at corporate, with them apparently taking place at the same time, and will be done in a cinematic fashion, like Boneyard match. And
I would love for them to start in the parking lot and have to fight all the way through the building.
I think that's what they're going to do.
Okay. The other thing I really, really want to happen is I want someone to get the other gender's briefcase. Like, I want Otis to grab the women's title briefcase, right? I know there was a big to-do about when
James Ellsworth
took it for Carmella. I think that was because it was the first one they'd ever had.
It was the first one, yeah.
No. I think that's why there was the fervor, is my point. I think if Otis was to do it, I think it would come off as funny.
Well,
especially if they played it right.
Well, I can see how this would work also a lot better than the James Ellsworth one, because again, like we mentioned, that was the first ever women's Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
And he literally just grabbed it and handed it to Carmella, which rubbed everyone the wrong way. Whereas this one, you literally have both briefcases hanging up above the ring. You can clearly, I
wanted to let Otis pulls down the women's title and goes, oh, wait, this is the wrong briefcase, hangs it back up, and then gets knocked off the...
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, like,
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that it would be great to have that type of confusion. Like, you have them, and they're exhausted, and like, Otis would be a great example, and of course, right as of right now of this recording, Otis is not officially in the match.
I'm using Otis because...
I know, because he would work best.
I'm using Otis because he's the comedy...
Yeah. Factor. Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that it would be great for a moment like that, where it's like, you're going up the ladder, you're exhausted, you're beat up, you just had to go up all these floors to get to the roof of the building, to get to this thing, and you're fighting all over the offices, and next thing you know, it's like, Otis is up there, and he grabs the women's title.
Yeah.
And he comes down, he thinks he won.
Because Mandy's in the other match, right? She probably will be, right? But, and then she just goes, Otis, it's the wrong briefcase, dude. And he's like, ah, and hangs it back up again. Like, there's just those, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and the fact that it's going to be done in a cinematic fashion, like the way Boneyard and Gargano Ciampa was,
yeah.
I think that's going to make this a lot more entertaining to watch.
The other thing I really want to do is, if they're doing like the floor to the top, is I want Nia Jax to, like, they're brought along on the ground floor, and then Nia Jax, like, gets in the lift rather than fighting all the way up, and he just gets stuck in the lift for the rest of the match. Just like, no, get out of the match. You're useless. You're bad.
Yeah.
Talentless, charisma vacuum, injury. You're so bad. How are you still employed? Sarah Logan got fired and you're still employed, you charismaless suckhole.
Yeah, but so far you have Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and then this upcoming Friday you'll find out whether it's Mandy Rose or Carmella that'll be taking the sixth spot for the women.
They got two faces against each other. Mandy Rose and Carmella are both faces.
Yeah.
One of two things is going to happen, right? Carmella's going to get in the match because Mandy's going to get cost the match by
Sonya.
And then Sonya and Mandy will end up having a match, right?
Yep.
Or Mandy's going in and she's probably taking the briefcase. Either her or Nia.
Yeah.
If needed.
To be brutally honest, I'd love to see Dana Brooke win it.
I'd like to see Dana Brooke win it. But of everyone in that match, Mandy has had the most storyline work put into her for over a year now.
Yep. Yeah, so it definitely makes sense for Mandy to get it, but I would definitely put Dana Brooke as a good solid number two to win it.
Oh, no, the number two to win it is Nia. Number three to win it is probably Lacey. Lacey or Shayna, number three. Asuka, number four. Dana Brooke, number five. Yeah. I want Dana to get to be higher on the list, but let's be realistic here.
Yeah. For the men's match, you have Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, Apollo Crews, King Corbin, and then this upcoming Friday, we'll find out if it's going to be either Otis or Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
Cool. You also have Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt for the Universal title, Bayley versus Tamina for the SmackDown Women's title, and Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins for the WWE Championship.
Ooh.
You'll probably have a...
Go on.
I could see a couple other matches possibly getting added to this.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Not too many. Maybe at least two more for the main card, depending on how they want to do this cinematic thing for the Money in the Bank match. Mm-hmm. Matches.
Yeah.
One of the other rumors is that apparently an additional match or maybe even the other matches could also potentially take place at corporate.
Or they could be taking place at the Performance Center.
Yeah. And then having the cinematic of the Money in the Bank matches happening throughout the night. So it's actually kind of interesting how this pay-per-view is going to happen.
So here's my... And yes, I'm well aware I spent like 15 minutes earlier ranting about the AEW ranking system. Right? I'm well aware of that. Don't need to call me a hypocrite or whatever. Didn't Seth Rollins lose at WrestleMania?
Yes.
Didn't Seth Rollins lose twice at WrestleMania?
Yes.
Shouldn't that be Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre?
Yes. But we also don't... Has Kevin Owens been on Raw since Mania?
No.
See, that's the thing. We don't... And this is something that I was reading and as to why it's Strowman versus Wyatt. It's because the roster for SmackDown is very thin right now. You know, in regards to who is actually being used at this time and who is willing to come out to travel at this time. So we're kind of seeing the circumstances of what we're getting right now in regards to who's available or who is willing to wrestle at this time. Because
I absolutely disagree. You've seen since WrestleMania alone, right?
Right.
You've seen Shinsuke Nakamura. You've seen Cesaro. You've seen King Corbin. You've seen Jeff Hardy. You've seen the Forgotten Sons. You've seen...
Well, Forgotten Sons we'll probably see.
But you see my point.
Yeah.
Right? You can't use the excuse, they're just working with what they've got. Right?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Well,
because what they've got is all of their employees that have been on the TV.
Yeah. One question for you, though. When you look at Braun versus Bray, do you see that face versus face?
No.
No?
I see it as a match that shouldn't happen. They made a mistake the first time putting The Fiend anywhere near the title. And they're just repeating their mistake. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
The Fiend doesn't need the title. And when you put the title on The Fiend, it backs him into a corner. Because eventually he's going to have to lose.
Yeah. Right? And apparently, according to reports, they want to put it back on him and have him carry it until Roman comes back.
Or you have Braun beat The Fiend, which just dilutes the Fiend even more. And even if you do put the title back on the Fiend and have him carry it until
Roman comes back,
who, that's one thing we didn't talk about, which is they're just not mentioning Roman on TV at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Roman beats the Fiend, that's not going to get Roman cheered. Even though it should, because the Fiend's awful. And not very interesting.
And you mentioned the thing about how Roman isn't being mentioned on television. There were people saying that, oh, this is a horrible thing for Roman because he's being buried and he has heat.
Well, they just don't want people to think about the fact he's not there.
Yeah, it's like, and I actually said this to one of my friends on Facebook. I said, or maybe they don't want to mention him at all. Keep him off, don't mention him, keep him off television completely. And then maybe say when we're able to be in front of a live audience again,
yeah,
and he's able to come back, you don't say a word about him coming back.
And he just shows up and spears the crap out of someone.
Imagine that
pop. Like someone's backstage doing something and it's just out of nowhere.
Yep.
Just hit him with a spear. And he's like, welcome back, Roman.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The type of reaction that would get from not just people in an audience, but people online would go nuts for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually it's a smart decision. It really is.
Yeah. Anyway.
But one thing I want to ask you real quick, because it's something I kind of want to talk about, especially the fact that with what happened yesterday, not just the quarter call, but also the fact that NXT in DC, which was scheduled for next Friday, has been postponed indefinitely with no future date to be scheduled at it in the near future.
Yep.
Which I put in a refund for that, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
One of the things, and it's up to interpretation. I want to stress that it's up to interpretation as to how people want to take it.
Yep.
Vince mentioned about how that they may move away from the live event model. Now, we could expect maybe Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-view, stuff like that to still have a live audience because they still have holds on arenas and stuff for those things. But stuff like the NXT show that we were supposed to go to next weekend, house shows in general could potentially go away. What are your thoughts on that, especially moving forward, especially if they decide that they want to kind of maybe continue what they're doing with like some of the cinematic stuff?
Really want to talk about it.
Okay.
Mainly because, as you say, it's open to interpretation. And my interpretation is, I don't want to make a judgment call until I have all the information, which I don't. So I won't.
Yeah. And that's fair.
You know me, that's how I roll.
And it's completely fair and I completely understand it. It's just, I find it interesting.
Now, I'm more than willing for you to give your opinions. Yeah. Like, it's just me personally, that's not how I do things.
It's interesting. We know for a fact, because we now see states reopening, are putting in plans to reopen. Like, I know Maryland says we're not going to do it for a while until we see the numbers.
Virginia's closed till like the middle of June.
Yeah. And one of the last phase that opened,
which you can prevent by staying fucking home.
Yep. One of the things that's been in every state essentially has been sporting events, concerts, and so forth are the very, very last thing to open up. We've heard about how New York City and Los Angeles has stated that they're not going to be having sporting events or concerts until 2021. When in 2021, we don't know. Obviously, that will have an impact on WrestleMania, potentially.
Depending on when.
Yeah, depending on when and stuff like that. So it's like, what we're seeing now could be the future of at least WWE, maybe not pro wrestling as a whole.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic of what we're in right now. And I just saw the comments and it just made me think a bit. about how the industry can move forward from it.
So. Yeah, no, you're right to look that way, because we talked before when all this started about how this will likely usher in a new normal.
Yep.
Right. We talked about how this will change the way the business is done.
Yep.
And you're absolutely correct there. Right. But I don't want to go into wild speculation about never having live events again. Right. Yeah. I don't think they'll ever take away the NXT live events, because the whole point of NXT live events is to get people ready for Raw and SmackDown TV. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
But you know,
yeah. And
I think it's going to take a, so wait, how am I trying to phrase this? Let me think. Fill the air, Mike.
Yeah, but it's just interesting to see how things go. And also, just to throw this out there, I saw this yesterday when I was doing the thing for the NXT tickets. Mm-hmm. There is a pre-order going on sale in June for August 7th for SmackDown in DC at Capital One Arena. Whether or not that will actually happen will remain to be seen, but...
yeah. I think what I'm trying to say is, I don't think it's wise to try and predict what WWE is going to do. Yeah. 'Cause every time someone's tried to predict what WWE is going to do, they've done the complete freaking opposite.
Yep.
When it comes to like general overhaul of company, this, that, and the other, right? So, yeah.
But you know what, Ben? Let's talk about positive things in wrestling.
Yeah, dude.
So I originally was going to go with one thing. I've actually have changed to another.
Okay.
I'm going with Dolph Ziggler, actually, because I completely forgot about this.
You're going to talk about the videos?
The videos.
That's exactly what mine was going to be.
Oh, the videos, the merchandise he's been buying from the guys who have been released or people on the independents, mm-hmm. to help them out.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like with Rusev, when he did the $20,000 of his own money to the WWE family. This is just as great. Although, you got to admit, Dolph Ziggler using Hornswoggle, actually paying for the cameo to try to get
done it with, he's done it with a bunch of indie wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like, but a bunch of indie wrestlers.
Well, no, but he's using Hornswoggle to try to get Mandy Rose back.
No, he's done that
with a
bunch of indie wrestlers.
See, I've only seen the Hornswoggle one. I didn't see
he's done tons. Like, I can think of four or five off the top of my head alone I've seen in the last, like, he did Hornswoggle. He did one with I'm pretty sure he's done one for Heath Slater. He did one with what's his name? Dan Black. He did, like, he's done one with the Bad Boys, Bret Attitude. He did one with the Mother Druckers. He's done one with...
I think the Ugly Ducklings.
Do you know who Sadie Lee Moss is? She's an independent wrestler. Her thing is she's the mother of wrestling. Oh. And she's just like this woman that cooks cookies for all her opponents and stuff. She's like a mom, basically. And he did one that she did...
yeah, I think he did something with
Blanco Loco did one for him. Like, he's done tons of them. Like, he's been paying people to go do
cameos and
to do like stuff like 45 minute videos of basically people telling Mandy why they should take him back.
And also the very first SmackDown after the releases, Dolph Ziggler was wearing
a Major Brothers t-shirt. Yep.
In support of them. So I think that is super great that somebody like Dolph is doing what he's doing.
Oh, and he got Brian Meyer. He got Kurt Ryder, Kurt Hawkins to do a cameo for Mandy.
Oh, and he put over Zack Ryder's t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah.
Where it's like not there.
Yeah.
So like in the most heelish way possible too. Like, don't buy this shirt, everyone starts buying the t-shirt. But there's also there's one other thing that we never talked about. Howard Finkel.
Yeah, I was gonna kind of bring that up.
Yeah.
I was gonna bring that up in the outro.
Okay, then we'll save him for the outro because
if you're doing the Dolph,
well, you already went farther deeper into Dolph. No. So just keep going in the Dolph.
But I'm gonna do a different one. as we talked before the show, you were gonna do the Drake Maverick storyline.
Yes.
And I said to you, is it going to work out? Is it going to be a storyline? Is it going to be a thing? Or is it just being WWE being mercenary and preying on all the love that Drake got on social media when he posted the video?
Right.
Okay. So my positive thing in wrestling is going to be all the love that Drake Maverick got on social media.
So essentially we're flipping.
No, because I'm not doing the storyline.
Right.
I'm doing the fact that the wrestling community has been supporting those released. For me specifically, it's Drake Maverick, Rockstar Spud, because Rockstar Spud's amazing. And he's a really good wrestler, and he deserves better than being a GM. And I would absolutely love for him to win the Cruiserweight tournament. And then a couple of months from now to see him against Jordan Devlin. Because you know that's going to happen.
Yep.
And so my positive thing in wrestling is the way that everyone's come together since Bloody Wednesday. Yep. Specifically, how much love Drake Maverick, aka Rockstar Spud, has garnered from his peers, the community, and so much more.
Yeah.
So,
it's for all the negative, there's a lot of great positive.
Wouldn't say a lot of great positive.
Well,
here's my positive. Gronk's gone back to the NFL.
With the 24/7 title, which means we won't have to see the title for a while.
That moment when you hosted WrestleMania so badly, you had to unretire from football.
Yep. And of course, it's funny that you bring that up because, like, one of the big things that's coming out of it now is like, oh, well, what happens if Gronk gets pinned after scoring a touchdown? Now we know what we're going to be seeing in the near future.
I'm telling you right now, what needs to happen is if any team ever beats Gronk's team, just need to give him the 24/7 title. And then he's to make it all the way around. And then next year at WrestleMania, whoever a representative of that team has to show up at WrestleMania.
They probably do a better job on the microphone too.
Yes. Even though Gronk was pre-recorded. God. That moment when you are pre-recorded and you host WrestleMania so badly, you have to unretire from football.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right, let's wrap up. Social media is then Howard, or Howard then socials?
Well, what I was going to say in my outro was we've had a lot of fun this week. this week, talking about various things. Making fun of AEW, making fun of WWE, talking about the problems in the world, trying to make some kind of good out of all the releases. One thing I don't think we can make a whole lot of good out of is, well, that's not necessarily true, is the fact that we lost the best ring announcer of all time, Howard Finkel.
Yep. The first ever WWE employee.
Yeah. I guess he got furloughed as well. Rest in peace, Howard. I guess what we can say is can make some good out of this because you're finally getting to rest. There's a very excellent picture that was taken, that was posted. It was very little known. It wasn't known very much, but Howard had suffered a stroke not long ago. And there was a picture of him and someone in the nursing home. And there's a little picture.
It was Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
And there's a little sign on his notice board. It says every Monday at 8 p.m., please turn on the wrestling. Because Howard still loved his wrestling.
Yep.
And rest in peace, bud. Yeah. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, I one of the biggest things, and it's and it was when I was watching some of the Triple H stuff last night on SmackDown, it's like when Howard Finkel announced your name, especially when you became and new for whatever title you had won, you made it.
Yeah.
Definitely rest in peace, Howard. I agree with you 100%. Best ring announcer all time.
Best ring announcer of all time.
Yeah. Best, hands down.
Yeah.
So with that, social media's Ben, where can the people find you?
Find me at Bob T. Goldfish on Twitter. Just to let you all know, we are going to be part of Awesome Con Online. Coming up May 1st through the 3rd.
Yep.
Not sure exactly what time yet.
Going to be May 2nd.
May 2nd. Okay. We're not sure when, but we will be part of AwesomeCon Online. Watch out for more from that, from us on our social medias. We'll post the exact time. We will also be available in the AwesomeCon Online VODs, which you'll be able to find on their YouTube and stuff. So,
yep, it'll be shown on YouTube, Instagram,
Facebook Live,
and Facebook Live. Yep,
it'll but be those the VOD, the VOD archive, as far as we can tell, is going to be solely on YouTube.
Yep.
So if you miss it on the second, you're gonna have to watch it on the YouTube.
And also, we just got permission to also post up ours on our website. So, but we do encourage everyone to also watch all the other content that's going on as well.
For sure. It's going to be a hell of a weekend. I know that Mike's doing a Nerdy Notions with
Sasha Kaplan.
What are you going to be talking about?
We're doing MCU.
Yeah, but what specifically?
Oh, we're just doing a broad conversation.
Like a broad, cool, cool.
Yeah. Kind of like how we're going to be just doing like a broad conversation for Awesome Media.
Yeah. But yeah. So we're going to be doing that. But for me, find me at Bob T. Goldfish on Twitter. You can find me doing video game stuff at twitch.tv/321_TV. Come check us out.
Yep. Then you can find me on the Twitter at @TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, and on, of course, the show at txhthockey.com/AwesomeMania. And, of course, as Ben said, next Saturday, time to be determined, you can see Awesome Mania as a panel. So with that, Ben, take us away, my man.
It's me, Ben Taylor, a.k.a. Ribcracker, saying, guys, gals, and non-aligned pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. A party on Genesis Pacific Honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace!